Nate, I think we're going to you for a briefing on our budget and what the effect of the coronavirus horrible problem has been on that.
Great. Just a quick audio check, Madam Vice Chair. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, great. Well, good morning, Madam Vice Chair, members of the Commission, Director Susewin. My name is Nate Pamplin. I'm the Director of Budget and Government Affairs. It's nice seeing you all this morning. You know, I have to admit, it feels a little bit weird putting on a sport coat, sitting here in my spare bedroom in a makeshift home office, talking to my boss's bosses about budget. So I just haven't fully made that transition yet on telework, but here we go. So I was asked to provide an update on the coronavirus impacts on our budget. I'm going to break this into a few different categories. A quick review of the governor vetoes in the 2020 supplemental budget. Talk about guidance that federal agencies are implementing from the Office of Management and Budget. Dive into the state equivalent and the guidance that we're getting from the Office of Financial Management from the governor's office. I'll speak to the impacts of the outdoor recreational closures on license sales and the health of the state wildlife account. And then we'll just talk about some near-term budget actions that we're doing on the budget. Before I do that, I think just a very quick reminder about our operating budget. So WDFW's operating budget is $510 million. It's roughly divided into four quarters, state general fund, the state wildlife account, our federal contracts, and then a whole host of other local contracts or other dedicated accounts. So pretty equally split across those four buckets. Also, about half of our budget is considered flexible, meaning that we could use that particular color of money for more than one of our major activities. So for instance, PR can be used for land management or managing hunting seasons, et cetera. The other half of our budget, though, conversely, is inflexible, and it's just for contracts for that specific work. So just wanted to give you that context as far as the flexibility we have to deal with different impacts and different accounts. And also, we're currently 3/8 of the way through the biennium, so we have five quarters remaining for the next through June 30th of 21. So, turning into the 2020 supplemental budget, you know, our budget really good in terms of what we got from the legislature on March 12th, March 13th. And then a couple, 3 weeks passed. My goodness, a lot of the stuff blowing up with the coronavirus. The governor's office was reviewing the overall supplemental budget and had made 150 vetoes throughout the state government budget to save about $235 million. Those vetoes were for primarily for new work. And that's what happened to the agency. So we had a number of vetoes within the department's budget. You've heard these before. You've seen those in all staff emails. But just very quickly, the HPA assistance program for $800,000 was one-time funding, was vetoed. We had some funding for a buyback of commercial licenses in the Columbia River to implement your policy. That was vetoed. We had some pass-through money to Woodland Park Zoo for Western Pond Turtles, and we had some one-time funding to boost elk fencing in the Skagit Valley. Also, we had one ongoing funded proviso that was vetoed, and that was for some new work to increase our enforcement program's capacity for aquatic invasive species inspections, primarily for zebra quagga mussels. There were no vetoes in the 2020 supplemental capital budget. So overall, we entered this pandemic in really good footing. Yes, we lost a couple million dollars of new one-time work that was vetoed, but our structural deficit was primarily resolved, and we're entering this challenge With the purchasing power of 2020 and not having to go back to where we could have been, which is like at a 2011 level. Really good news overall on that front. Now I'll walk through about some of the additional challenges. The President's Office of Management and Budget issued a memo on March 19th about how federal agencies that are managing contracts should provide more flexibility and administrative relief to those contract recipients that are impacted either because of just a loss of operational capacity or the increased costs associated with responding to the pandemic. That memo really had a lot of really good benefits. It was really nice to see the thinking that went in from the federal side on federal contracts. They said, hey, we're not going to have any, you know, cost extensions on expired contracts. They are allowing federal money on salaries to be used for other project activities within reason. So just kind of stretching the bounds of the contract a little bit. Allowability of some costs not normally charged to those awards. There was extensions of financial and performance reporting and extensions of closeouts. So just kind of a lot more flexibility. And what's nice is that memo has, we've confirmed the implementation of that memo through our main funding partners, like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or Bonneville Power Administration. The other good news is that many other funding entities are using that OMB memo as their guidance for how to manage their contracts. So now as we kind of look back at that pie chart, some increased flexibility on the federal side as well as some of the local side. So kind of half of the budget is kind of covered under this guidance. Or something similar, or people have riffed on that guidance. Madam Vice Chair, I'll pause there before I move on just to see if there's any questions. It's hard to see everybody on the Zoom.
Anybody have any questions?
This is Dave Graybell.
Go ahead, Dave.
Nate, the veto on the quadra zebra mussels, are we still able to operate our station at the Idaho border? And was this money intended for additional staff? And I think they're going to build a new sanitation facility. I'm just wondering if we are still able and are in fact monitoring traffic coming into the state for quadra zebra mussels.
Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner Graybill, a great question. This funding would have been new money starting July 1 in an ongoing basis to really enhance our ability to do more patrols. So it did not impact our current abilities.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay.
Go on, Nate.
Okay. So one other just federal grant I should highlight here, and that is our Pittman-Robertson funding. So this is the funding that comes to us as a formula block grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's the excise tax on firearms and ammunition. PR has been down in recent years. In fact, this next state fiscal year, we were looking at a $2 million hole. And that ballooned into about a $5 to $6 million gap for next biennium. We have seen a real surge in gun sales associated with the pandemic. We will not see the benefit of those excise tax collections until the next federal fiscal year, and that contract doesn't go into effect until July 1st of 2020. But just that's something that people are flagging that are in the know about our budget, and just wanted to speak to that a little bit. That we will see an increase, or we anticipate seeing an increase, but it won't go into effect for another probably 15 months. Turning to state governor's office guidance, There's the Office of Financial Management has issued a number of memos. I'll start with some that we received very early on about flexibility for state employees and really the importance of keeping employees on the payroll, recognizing the challenges of staff teleworking, figuring out different ways of using leave for flexibility for people that are, tending to children at home because schools are closed, or caring for a family member that has the coronavirus. So a lot of flexibility, really providing guidance that don't need to use, otherwise in other situations, employees in this circumstance would have to use their leave and then shift to using leave without pay. And so there's been some additional guidance on use of leave. And this has been come out and then extended as the governor's stay home, stay healthy order has been extended as well.
Hey, Nate, I understand that Bob Kehoe has a question. Bob?
Yeah, thanks, Barbara. I will just wait till Nate finishes up. So
okay.
Thank you.
So we've implemented the direction from OFM. Staff have really worked hard on the transition here on telework. Vast majority are doing their jobs from home. It's also for folks that would otherwise perhaps be out in the field. This is a good time for folks to get caught up on writing manuscripts or doing those contract reports, data entries, personnel evaluations, et cetera. So folks were still, life goes on. The agency's mission continues, and we're I think doing a really good job moving forward here during these trying times. Then we received a memo last week from OFM that's more on the budget side of things, and it was providing guidance to all agencies about budget reductions and savings. It was kind of a brace for impact, recognizing that the significant downturn in the economy, and no doubt sales taxes, B&O taxes are down. 1 in 10 Americans have applied for unemployment. It was that kind of a memo, and indicating to us, hey, we should be looking at our positive variances. We should think about reducing programs, use other funds where you can to try to preserve state general fund. And delay hiring. We have not yet seen from OFM more of the kind of global guidance for state budget management. Is there anything that's going to happen with temporary salary reductions, or is the is there ability to tap the $3 billion in state reserves? So just don't know what the latest thinking is on that front, but would anticipate that there would be some other big moves coming. So I'll circle back here in a bit on some of the actions we're taking to implement that OFM guidance. And that's, again, primarily around the state general fund. Turning now to the state wildlife account. As you know, this account has 26 different sub-accounts, one very large one that we call the non-restricted account, and we have 25 smaller restricted accounts. This is where the bulk of the hunting and fishing license revenue is deposited. Our hunting and fishing license year begins on April 1. And products for that license year were started for sale last December. So just wanted you to have that context. So typically in March, end of March and through May, people are renewing their licenses. Special hunts are for the fall are opening up for those applications. So you'll see a lot of people buying licenses this spring. In preparation for the fall or preparation for the summer fishing season. So it's really in the spring is when we earn the bulk of our revenue that gets us through not only through the current fiscal year, but through much of the next fiscal year. And we spend about $5 million per month out of this account. When you think about the closures for you know, camping and then recreational lands was on, you know, the third week of March. Then we had a clam dig closed, again, third week of March. Curtailed recreational fishing and certain spring bear seasons on March 25 and March 30th. And then April 6th, the department closed recreational fishing and turkey and bear hunting through May 4th, aligning with the governor's order. So what is those decisions? How does that impact the incoming revenue? Well, when we looked at the final month of March close and compared it to March 2019, we did okay. Actually, hunting was up a little bit. Fishing was down almost $700,000. And this is, you know, when you look at the day-to-day sales, we lost a little bit more, but when you do the final sweep, that's where we ended up. So did okay for March. April, as you might imagine, has been pretty rough, where revenue is down about 70% to 80% each day when we compare to the same kind of license sales day for April of 2019. So in total, we're down about $6 million in revenue so far for April. We are starting to see a little bit of an uptick in license sales. You know, earlier this week, following your all's decision to approve the 2020 hunting season, we published the pamphlet, and so folks are starting to buy licenses there, as well as I think folks are looking at the calendar here and looking at you know, the governor's stay home, stay healthy order, and anticipating you know, being able to go afield here this spring. So license sales are starting to pick up, and we will likely see, you know, a kind of a V-shape return here on license sales once things do reopen. People buying their annual fishing licenses, hunting licenses, the special hunt applications, etc. I did look at some data for Discover Pass sales and those projections. Parks estimates that Discover Pass revenue was down 50% for April, anticipating being down about 20% in May, and then returning to normal sales volume in June. So we're last kind of suite of different budget impacts here is we're tracking our response costs. This is, you know, costs that are directly associated with the coronavirus response. So our enforcement officers that are at the Emergency Operations Center, staff that are, you know, where we've had additional IT costs as we're transitioning staff to telework, et cetera, executive management costs. We're tracking that information to be potentially eligible for the FEMA federal reimbursement, or through the CARES Act that Congress passed that had a portion of it going to state response to the coronavirus. So lastly, I'll just close with an overview of some near-term department actions. We are looking at our agency positive variance from the first 9 months of the biennium. We're certainly accruing some positive variance right now with staff not traveling or certain surveys and field work that are not being conducted right now. You know, one challenge for us is the way we balanced our budget for this biennium, given the uncertainty, was we implemented a vacancy target already. And so we're already kind of pushing the margins on that budget tool. We are looking at a kind of a softer hiring delay where program directors are reviewing recruitments that are currently in the hopper and saying, hey, you know, if it's not essential staff or it's not critical for reopening, you know, maybe we can delay that start date a little bit later into, you know, early summer rather than have someone starting in early May. So we're going through that analysis now. Just to close out, I'll be coming to you in June, starting to build our budget for 21-23. We're inventorying our needs. We will no doubt be needing to incorporate any other guidance from the Office of Financial Management on any types of adjustments we might need to make, whether it's some sort of across the board savings target or an agency specific target. We're not sure yet. We anticipate more of an informal revenue forecast here at the end of this month, and then a more formal one, I believe, is coming out in June. So that will also probably allow OFM to act with more certainty and give us some guidance on how we need to plan for the 2021 legislative session, or whether there's even any special sessions either this fiscal year or this fall. So, Madam Vice Chair, that's the overview of the department's budget impacts here in about 15-20 minutes.
Also the reflection of an awful lot of work. I guess it's kind of like you want the good news or the bad news first. Most of that's bad news, but it could be worse. Is that the summary?
I think that's fair. And there's just so many unknowns right now, in particular on the state general fund side.
Okay, so we had Bob Kehoe lined up with a question. Anybody else has questions? Come back up to the screen.
There's a couple hands up, Barbara.
Okay, I don't see hands on my screen, so yes, let me know. Okay.
So I guess I'll kick it off. So, Nate, thank you. Looking very dapper in your sport coat. Appreciate that. I don't know if I'm ever going to order a sport coat again. We'll see. I understand there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding the general fund, and I'm just wondering, are you hearing, is the governor thinking about bringing the legislature back for a second special session to address some potential budget shortfalls? Kind of what are you hearing on that?
Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner Kehoe, mainly just kind of hearing the rumors. I mean, so setting the rumors aside, just thinking about state budget and knowing what would need to happen for tapping the state reserves, if there was any going to be changes made for the second fiscal year, I would think that the governor and the legislature would want to act sooner on that, because the longer you wait on making those kind of budget moves, the more drastic it can be later in the fiscal year. So been hearing about, you know, potentially in June, potentially in early fall, potentially in December. Don't know yet, but it seems like legislative action before just the normal timelines of the second supplemental would be in order. This is pretty significant downturn.
Yeah, and maybe, Madam Chair, just a couple of quick follow-ups. We're also kind of reading in the media. Congress yesterday passed kind of CARES 3.5, which put some more money into the Payroll Protection Plan program, and also some other kind of existing programs. Kind of the word is that there's building support for maybe the next CARE Act, including some money for state and local governments. Wondering if you've heard anything about that from OFM, and whether the department would be involved in those discussions about putting a proposal together. Just kind of any update on that would be helpful.
Yeah.
And then I have one more, Madam Chair.
Okay. Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner Kehoe. Yes, hearing that as well. We have our federal coordinator, Megan West, working pretty closely with the congressional delegation. We've been working with sister natural resource agencies, really trying to also identify some projects for federal funding that would help with both advancing our mission as well as economic recovery. So estuary restoration projects, timber forest health type projects, hatchery facilities construction projects. I mean, there's a lot of shovel ready projects that we could, you know, hopefully fit into that phase four stimulus package, in addition to just the support for state agencies and backfilling the loss of state general fund.
Okay, great. And then just
we also
maybe,
did see a federal, I think it was in one of the first stimulus packages, recognizing impacts to seafood and exports. And so we're working with NIMS on and the congressional delegation on the interpretation of how that funding will be distributed to the states to then be able to pass on to commercial fishers and aquaculture.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of tracking that too in my other job. So, and then one last thing, kind of a comment more than anything. You know, in our most recent North of Falcon process, and I realize it was completely unusual, but you know, on the commercial side for Puget Sound, I mean, we're just running out of bodies. I'm sure Nate, you know this, and I'm sure the director knows it. You know, the guys that are manning the job are just simply, there's just not enough bodies. And I understand kind of the pause maybe on hiring. This could be a great opportunity with kind of the job climate taking a significant downturn. I don't mention that lightly, but this might be a good opportunity to get really high quality people that are looking for employment now. So you know, we really need to backfill our, and I'm sure, you know, it's the same with other divisions within the department, but clearly our fish management team with people going to different positions within the department, we really need to, you know, get people hired and get people on board. So thanks.
All right, we have a couple more commissioners with questions now. First is Larry Carpenter.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Bob, great questions you posed. Nate, I just have a couple questions. I'll throw them both on the table. You can sort them as you see fit. You mentioned the Pittman-Roberts funding and your futuristic views on that. What about, what do you know, if anything, about the Diggle-Johnson potential for funding? As I think it's, well, it would appear that because of the closures of as much fishing as we've done, there's going to be a significant fall off in that area as well. And also, do you have any current trends for the reductions in sales tax revenue? That has been very significant. The business folks that I know has been very significant for the last 90, 120 days.
Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner Carpenter, on the DJ side, it really don't know, but, you know, pre-coronavirus, DJ has been flat or even, you know, kind of slowly declining. So that's been a source of impact for us. And it's been part of, you know, stuff that we've been kind of building into. I mean, even the 2019 version of the fee bill had tried to cover some of the gap in DJ. So how those tax collections are occurring right now with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, I don't know, Commissioner. And then again on the state general fund, yeah, I'm expecting, I would anticipate a really, really rough informal revenue forecast we're anticipating here at the end of this month, and then a more formal one out of the Department of Revenue and the Economic Forecast Council, I believe it's in June.
Thanks for that, Nate. Thank you for that, Nate. I look forward to some regular updates when we can, when you have that information. Thank you much.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. And Nate, I faded out a little bit during part of this, so let me apologize if you covered this. But you mentioned that the governor's thinking about the problem with state general funds with regard to lack of income coming from sales tax. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned the savings to the department, some passive savings that are happening because of lack of travel and just not spending some money that normally would be spent. It's been good that we've had that so we can balance some of these other shortfalls. But sometimes at a higher administrative level, you may get an edict across agencies that the governor wants to vacuum up all the loose change on the floor of any savings of people not going to conferences and this and that. Do you see that as a threat coming or not?
Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner McIsaac, yes. I mean, when I look at the OFM memo, those were the suite of ideas that were asked by the governor's office for program or agency directors to start considering, and likely, you know, kind of shifting funding so that there's a potential hoovering up of state general fund savings. Just don't know what the targets are. That's the challenge, is that it's a little bit of brace for impact, but we don't know what to what extent. I look at, you know, if $3 billion of state revenue reserve is tapped, well, that could avoid some of this other activity. But those are discussions going on in the governor's office, and we just don't have the information yet on the extent of the decline of general fund and then how that will be implemented. You know, when we saw how state government at large handled the Great Recession, you know, it's really hard to just for the legislature, the governor's office, to just do these sweeping across the board cuts, especially for agencies that have fixed caseloads or growing caseload and federal requirements. So corrections and healthcare, education. And so unfortunately, what we saw in the Great Recession is sometimes natural resource investments are almost considered discretionary. And that's the threat part of your comment, I guess I'm most nervous about. I think we've been doing a really good job talking about the mission of the agency, the contributions of our agency, the economic benefit of investing state general fund into WDFW. You guys know the stats I've been pushing for a while, the report from Department of Revenue that a state general fund dollar invested in WDFW results in a 250% return on investment. So keeping us whole and helping us work with that economic activity of the outdoors will actually help pad the coffers of state government.
Okay, thank you.
All right, okay, Commissioner Graybill.
Thank you. More of a comment. I've never felt more comfortable with understanding our budget needs and the minutiae of the whole process. Typically, this is not my favorite thing. But, Nate, I have to believe that your communication with legislature about our budget needs resulted in this incredibly positive result in a short session. I want to thank you and your staff for the communication you provided with us, and I believe that your communication to the legislature got the results we needed, and I want to thank you for that.
Hey, thanks, Commissioner Graybill. It's been a tough couple years here, but I really look at the assignments that we got out of the legislature in that 2017 proviso and how we took that to heart, and we did the zero-based budget analysis and that activity inventory and my gosh, establishing the budget and policy advisory group and bringing in external stakeholders to understand that minutia of our budget and understanding the scope and breadth of our mission. And then boy, we've had a good team. Tom McBride, Morgan Stinson, so many people in the director's office and the executive management team. It's been hard work, but when you have a good team of people, it makes it fun.
So I have a question. I don't see any other raised hands. My question, it relates a little bit to Bob Kehoe's question. Assuming that there may be a special session, I'll tell you, just complete gossip, just complete rumor out in the people that I talk to world, is that the governor's going to look at that economic update in early June. And there's a whole bunch of rumors about what the trigger is, but something like if the state's down $6 billion, he's going to have no choice but to call us back. Again, all rumor, but the likelihood of a special session is high. That being the case, we could end up with either something like across-the-board cuts, which I know you guys are thinking about, or we could put forth our own more targeted and so our own suggestion for what cuts we could take. Mm-hmm. So that leads straight up to my question, which is, are you guys thinking about that? And if you are, is there a mechanism to be ready? I guess in late May, because the June commission meeting is the 11th, 12th, and 13th, which would be a likely set of times for a special session. So can we get updated at some point in our preparations for this, and can we make sure we're doing preparations just to add to your work?
Vice Chair, no, it's definitely something we're watching for. It was very much alluded to in the Office of Financial Management memo. A couple things on this. We have a kind of a 1-2 punch right now with the state wildlife account and state general fund. So we need to think about that. Hopefully, as I indicated, state wildlife account will be propped up here soon. On the state general fund side, we do have the benefit here of just already of going through that zero-based budget analysis. And so we have the suite of activities that we had put at risk before. This kills me to know that we finally got to budget stability, and then we have to go back through that list. But we do have that work already conducted. It's a matter of truthing it up. Is the thinking that we had made in 2017 and 18 still apply now in 2020? So do some ground truthing there. As soon as we have a target, we could then start figuring out ways and informing policymakers about how we would implement that target. But I think doing so prematurely, it could be that those cuts are identified, and then you're given another task,
right,
cutting deeper. And so that's just an area to be a little bit cautious about. Obviously, we need to do our part here and figure out ways to WDFW's contributions to those budget savings.
Thanks for that answer. That was a good answer. Anybody else? Commissioner Anderson.
Just maybe following up a little bit what Commissioner Graybill said. I agree that it's been really good information, very easy to understand. You've repeated it in different sessions where even I can figure it out. But I think, as we go forward and as we're looking at if we're into a possible legislative session and a number of things are on the table, the coalition is going to be very important as we try to come out of it as good as we can. So I think that's going to need to have a lot of cultivation. It's going to be difficult. It's going to stress, and there'll be some challenges. But I think, the work that you have done to build that, while extremely important, it's really important that we continue to do that, because it's been a real stress in the past month and a half, as you know, on people, and a lot of those people are a part of that coalition. And so we need to really make sure we're reaching out, connecting, and engaging so that they really are feeling like they're still relevant and important.
Thanks, Commissioner. I agree. We've been doing quite a bit of outreach on that front, and I have a budget and policy advisory group meeting scheduled on May 7th. And so commissioners, if anybody wants to attend, as long as we, are stay south of a quorum, I'll send you that information through Nikki.
Well, any other questions for Nate? All right, Nate, thank you very much. I think we all echo Bob's comments. You guys are just beyond good.